People generally come to me for what I call four things. Their everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids, okay, God, you put me here, now what? Who was I in 1642 Belgium? I want to speak to my spirit guide, Binky, and how's dead Aunt Mabel? I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's all very practical. Yes, I'm very funny. People do not feel like they're sitting with somebody with a glitter turban who's going to, you know, tell them, oh, you have family curse.
In this week's episode, I talked to Corby Mitlide. She's an exceptional figure in the realm of spirituality and is a certified tarot master since the age of 18. Corby couples her psychic prowess with a unique talent from mediumship and channeling. Honored in Robert Swartz's Cutting Edge series and a successful author of three books and a stand-up comedian, Corby has carved out a niche of guiding people through their life's map. Her theater major background lays the foundation for compelling storytelling, and her love of history empowers her specialization in past lives. Not one to sugarcoat the truth, Corby delivers her heart-touched insights with a dose of humor and practicality. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm with Corby today. Corby, how are you?
Wonderful. Here in upstate New York in the Catskills, it is glorious weather.
Well, it's obviously way different than what I'm having down here in Austin, Texas, where we're on breaking a record for consecutive days of 100 plus degrees.
Oh, honey. you have my eternal, you guys are having the eternal hot flash.
Menopausal
women are concerned.
Exactly. Hot flash with not enough margaritas to go around.
There you go.
So Corby, you do a lot of things. Sort of connect those dots for me, would you?
Okay. I am a certified tarot master. I've been reading since 1973 when I was 18. I am a past life specialist, psychic medium, and channel. I've appeared in Robert Schwartz's breakthrough series about past lives and life between lives, and I've written three books of my own. People generally come to me for what I call four things. Their everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids, okay, God, you put me here, now what? Who was I in 1642 Belgium? I want to speak to my spirit guide, Binky, and how's dead Aunt Mabel? I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's all very practical. Yes, I'm very funny. People do not feel like they're sitting with somebody with a glitter turban who's going to, you know, tell them, oh, you have family curse. It's very much here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox. Go rock and roll.
Well, that's quite the menu that I could order from. Now, a lot of those things I've thought about, I don't know if I've lived before or not, but that has not really crossed my mind.
Do you really think you're smart enough to get it done in one? No.
No, really? Okay. Well, I guess there's hope in that to-do list will continue on to the next life.
Absolutely. To think that you got it all done in one is you're an ant and you're in calculus class and you're at the head of the class. You can't even hold a pencil in your little paw. No, it doesn't
this
work.
True. I can't write I got a pre-med signature for my handwriting. Mm-hmm. It's not very good. I do believe that we're all put here for a reason. We have sort of this special skills and talents. You know, a lot of people have that imposter syndrome, but we're here with our unique talents, and we need to get our voice out. We need to be able to do that. And as I talk to people, that's why I focus on storytelling, because it helps people sort of relate to other people.
Yes.
And, you know, how do you sort of, is that a common thing? Is just simply we don't know that we don't think we're special, or we don't know why we're here?
Most people, when they come to me and they say, what's my purpose? I explain, not my job to tell you. That's like walking into a Russian lit class and saying to the professor, I know I'm supposed to read War and Peace, but you've already done it. Just do me a favor. Give me the cliff notes and, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, you have to figure out your purpose, because you know your challenges. You know the things that are important to you. You know what you've been through. Mm-hmm. I can help you find your sentence of passion, which is what you want to tell God you got to do while you were down here. But it all comes from your examination of your own life. What gives you comfort? What are the traumas you faced? What's important to you? You know, the example I use is, if money is important, if you keep running into that, how do you treat it? Are you terrified you'll never have any of it? Do you do everything you can to grab as much as you can? Do you learn to live simply? Money is just the thing. Mm-hmm. How you work with it determines your purpose around your learning.
That's an interesting aspect of that. You know, I've, as I mentioned before we started, you know, I've been working with different coaches over my life. Mm-hmm. One of my mentors I had early on, she said, well, you know, I told her what I wanted to do when I grow up, which was, you know, sort of teach people to tell stories, be that storyteller. Mm-hmm. And she kept asking me why. And then I would, you know, spend a little time ruminating on it and come back with an answer, just all excited because I thought I'd found out why. And then she'd ask me why again. And this went on for a long time until I got down mm-hmm. to the root of, at least what I think was the root of this was that, you know, we're put here to serve other people in whatever yes. form. And if everybody would serve everybody else, as opposed to doing that, then we're going to be a much better place. Yes. And she didn't ask me why, you know, why after that. So I think I sort of got down to the bottom, but that it was during a run. I mean, it takes a lot of thought and it's hard and it's not necessary. It's not painful. I didn't have any past memories come up that blocked me for that particular thing, but it takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're here to help with that guide, that help with that work, or sort of give us some, buy a clue maybe.
Yes. The way I explain it, people say, why did you decide to do the kinds of stuff you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the universe handed me my draft notice and said, okay, you can do psychic work, you're working for us. It rifles inside to see what you got. So mm-hmm. what's my background? Theater major at Brown University, acted in New York. So I understand mm-hmm. character arcs. When I said yes to the universe that I would do this work full time, it went rifling in my internal file cabinet to see what I had. Mm-hmm. Theater major at Brown University, acted professionally in New York. I understand characters. Words are my drug of choice. I am a writer, so I can tell the stories. And I have loved history since I was a small child. So that's why I'm a specialist with past lives. But don't ask me to do spirit art. I can't draw a stick figure with a sharp pencil and a lot of prayer. Not my wheelhouse. How we grew up is no longer going to be the paradigm. You go to school, you get a job, you have a family, you retire.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to understand communication and connection is more important now than it ever was, because you're not going to be able to measure yourself by what you've got or where you live. It yeah. is, do I have friends? Do I have a support group? Where can we work together to make things possible?
Yeah, I totally agree with that piece of it. I mean, I work in the education space a lot, and you know, the teachers today are preparing kids for jobs that don't exist yet. We have no idea. Artificial intelligence is coming in. It's going to change the paradigm of what goes on. Some will go away, but it opens up an opportunity for you to do other things. You know, I've used ChatGPT to help me write better and help give me some ideas, because then I can sort of go in and add my voice, but it takes care of some of that first draft of getting it, because I have the challenge of editing and writing at the same time, which, you know, I get two words on a page and it's not, I'm constantly erasing it. So, but mm-hmm. I can see that. So what's the, you know, some cynics would say that, well, you're a trained actor. How do I know, you know, I see how it can help you, but how do I know that you're not just simply telling me what I want to hear?
Oh, believe me, I don't. Perfect example. You know, when people say, do you even tell them what they don't want to hear? Absolutely. I used to be on the road 45 weekends a year. My nickname was the Travel Channel. And there was a woman I read for in Kitchener, Ontario.
Okay.
And I told her I saw a couple of tough things, and she looks at me and she says, you suck. And she gets up and walks away. Okay, fine. Well, who's the first person in my chair again the next time I'm up there? She sits down. She says, last time I said you sucked. I said, yes, I remember.
Yes.
Because you told me that I was probably going to take in a boarder and then I would want to sell my house. And I thought that was all bull. But yeah. My daughter got pregnant and moved home. And now I want to sell my house to help raise my grandson. And I still don't like you, but I want to know what else you see.
But yeah, thanks.
The messenger.
So, I mean, but does the ability, does it help? How does it help you? How does the acting background sort of help you craft that message and be able to communicate?
Well, for one thing, I still get to be up on stage when I do lives, mm-hmm. past life galleries, when I lecture.
Right.
It means that with podcasts or my YouTube videos, I can come across and be real. I am not sitting here talking to you like this.
Yeah.
It also frankly, the fact that I was a voice actor, I know how to pitch my voice so that people are at ease and not scared. Okay. Part of it is it can help when I'm doing mediumship work. I do mediumship very, very differently than most. I don't just go fish. I see a woman handing you a rose. It's your grandmother. Oh, gag. I ask for the dog tags, for instance.
Yeah.
My father, Jerome Richard Dorkin, who died in 2001 at the age of 80.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give me too much information, but gets me right into the energy. And for some reason, my guides like to play charades. People smoked, they had an accident, they had surgery, whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes the voices come with it. Couple of the fast examples. After all of a sudden, I felt myself miming a pool cue. He taught her how to play pool.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman who wanted to speak to her grandfather. This again was in Kitchener. Notice I saluted, but my palm was out the way they salute in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
She had just graduated 2 weeks before from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Academy, and the grandfather was acknowledging it, and she had not told me that.
Yeah.
But the reason why I do not do mediumship publicly, only one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
is because I don't censor. Now, do you want the PG or the R version? Do you want the kids version or the George Carlin version?
Yeah, no, I would think we would need the George Carlin version if you're really going to be honest about things.
Okay, great. Then it was upstate New York, Canastota, years ago. There was a biracial same-gender couple. The black partner had died, and her white widow wanted to speak to her. Now, look at this face. This grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I have manners. But I made the connection, and what just comes flowing out of my mouth in flawless urbanist Ebonics is, well, shit, if it ain't my white bitch. And I'm going, but the woman in front of me is nodding and laughing hysterically.
That was her.
That is how her partner, Isabel, walked into the house after every business trip, with that phrase.
Yeah.
You cannot do that publicly. Yeah. No.
Yeah. It could get you into a lot of trouble or cancel or whatever goes on these days. It's just
it's not safe.
So what's the, as we mentioned, I've been working on some past, looking at how does the historic piece of that or the historian help with sort of uncovering some past wounds and stuff that we all seem to carry as I mentioned, I had worked with somebody as a leadership coach, and we went through some spirituality, but uncovered some things that I knew about, but I didn't think that they were big deals.
Okay. I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. That is not my job. But if you come to me with an obsession, a phobia, a problem, then my being able to do past life retrieval, not regression, retrieval, I'm the one who goes upstairs, can help. Two examples that I love. A woman came to me and said, my son is 29. He still won't make any decisions without me. He won't live more than a mile away from me. What is going on? So I did a quick, if you will, trip upstairs. And I said, okay, I'm seeing Utah Beach 44. It's D-Day. I'm seeing your son. He's got shrapnel in his leg and he's bleeding out. You're his commanding officer. You are scrambling over a dune. You're dragging him to safety. You take some shrapnel too, but you both get out of there and you both live. And I look up and she says to me, can you see my rank? I go, yeah, you were a sergeant. She goes, he's been calling me Sarge since he was 3 years old and we've never known why. That's one.
Yeah.
A woman comes to me and she has no connection with the Civil War, but she has always been heart-wrenchingly fascinated by the Underground Railroad. Okay. I see you in a whitewashed room, very low ceiling. There are two gentlemen standing, one in a military uniform, one in civilians. They're tall enough that they have to bend over. They don't fit in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You are by the bed. The outfit you're wearing, it's dark gray, black soutache. This is about 1862 or 3. It's a very rickety iron bed. There's an old black woman in it, very wizened. She's dying, and all of you are feeling full of grief because she was saved from Mississippi Plantation. You almost got her to the end of the Underground Railroad, but she wasn't going to make it. She's going to die first. And I open my eyes, and this woman is sobbing, and she says, I have had that exact dream for 20 years, and I never knew what it was about.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it's not a Thomas John that I'm going to check their social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when they're sitting with me and I've never seen them before, and they just sit down with me at an expo and give me this and I give them that back, there's no other explanation, but I'm tapping into something from upstairs.
So you've had some interesting past life experiences with some marriage and some other things, and you know, breast cancer, I think it was, what, three times?
Yep.
You know, I guess, again, the cynic would ask, well, didn't you see that coming?
It's sometimes we should not see things coming.
Okay.
From what I understand, because of the own past life work I've done, is what I came in for this life, part of it was to heal some backstory from other lives, which is appreciate women are as good as men. Your looks are not simply transactional. You're allowed to say no. From what I understand, most of the time I come in male and I was probably just your typical male. And so this time I was literally given a Dolly Parton figure and had a traumatic episode with my mother at age 16, which put me on the road. I could have said, I'll show you and stay at a virgin till I was married.
Yeah.
But I assumed that all of the horrible things she told me about me were true, even though I was still a virgin at that point. And so for many years, I figured I had no rights. Man said, I want you. I had to stop. I'd drop. It was all I was worth. So the first time I got breast cancer, it was four lumpectomies and radiation. That was while I was acting in New York. Second in 2000 was skin cancer from the radiation. And I finally married the right guy. 18 months later, I got third bout because I hadn't quite gotten the message. And the way I figure it is upstairs was saying, look, we really need you down there to teach. And if you can't get over this, we're going to remove the problem. So it was a second primary, which turns the danger clock back to zero. But the doctor said, well, three strikes, you're out. So we're taking the rack. We're taking the ovaries.
Yeah.
And you're going from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects. And we're going to damage you so much internally, you'll never have sex again. Suck it up. Now, did I go home and cry for 24 hours? Yes.
Yes. You're human. You would do that.
But I knew that I had to come up with three reasons to be okay with it, to get through it. Number one, you don't have them. You can't get cancer there. Number two, the other half is not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's. Number three, implants means I'll be perky till I'm 93. So I got out of Mass General in 3 days, shopped and for a bathing suit in five. It's 19 years. I had married the right guy because was he upset? Of course. But he looked at me and said, I married you, not them.
Yeah.
And we have been together now for 23 years, married for 21.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
what it did is it totally took away my identity. I now look like everybody else's plump grandmother. But I've learned everything that I am worth other than that. It allows me to tell women, it's not the end of the world for you. And I show them how to live the examined life, which is, this is a horrible thing happening to me. I don't want it, can't avoid it. What do I need to learn for me personally? How can I teach with it? And then next, move on from it. Don't stay stuck in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't change what happens to you, but you can change how you respond to it. It sounds like, you know, you've got that pattern down. And I believe we go through these things of suffering or whatever. Sort of had this revelation the last time, is that, you know, when we're struggling and stuff, where you sort of feel alone, that's where God or whoever is actually carrying you through that to prepare you for whatever next phase is there, right? You don't necessarily know it, but if he just dropped you, he or she just dropped you down into that, you wouldn't be prepared for it. And you would, like, you know, be, just fall down.
Yeah, the whole thing, it's God's will and just, I'm helpless. No. Do not go there. That will not help you.
No, exactly. Nor,
and God doesn't do grishas. What's grisha? That's the Yiddish word for sticking in a knife and twisting it just because it's fun.
No.
Things happen to you because there are lessons you need to learn, and you will be a better person and soul, two different things, if you can get through it in one piece.
Well, and that was in essence, you made the point I was trying to do is it's like when I used to do Ironman triathlons. You didn't just go out of bed one day and go do all this stuff. You had to work through it and suffer and, you know, get to the starting line healthy. And it is a process, and sometimes life's hard, and you can either give up, or you can say, okay, we're going to just push through this. I don't like it. I'm going to take some lessons with me, and we're going to go through it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's a powerful story that you there. And thank you for sharing that with us. So what's the best way to get a hold, since, you know, do we go to Poughkeepsie or wherever you were going to do these road trip things? Or what's the best way to get a hold of you?
No, I have lived in Poughkeepsie, but I'm not in Poughkeepsie. For one thing, you can't avoid me. I'm all over the internet. Mm-hmm. You want to go to my website, corbymitlide.com. You can find me on YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, Patreon, if you want to learn from me on a regular basis, mm-hmm. Threads. And I'm on Facebook, Corby Mitlide, Psychic at Fire Through Spirit.
That is wonderful. And I think you are fulfilling this life, fixing a lot of the other things that you, again, from the past. It'd be interesting to see what the next life has for you. If this is true, again, I'm still not convinced I'll live before or I'll live again. But if it's true, then I hope we meet again in the next one and we can compare notes.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks a lot, Corby.
You're welcome.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode and my conversation with Corby. She's just a fantastic person and just a really interesting character at that. And you always know where you stand with her. If you like the episode, please give 5 stars and comment below. Go to your favorite podcast app and give us a rating. That really helps spread the message. But more important than anything else, I want to thank you for watching and listening to the Doug Thompson Podcast.